But you guys may have a seat.
Thank you, worship team. Good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing this morning? So happy to be with you guys. I'm so encouraged to and excited at the same time to preach this amazing 25-week sermon series. Yes, that's true. Message about the unstoppable church. I'm excited to talk about it because in these days, in this generations and the generations before, the church has lost its flavor. Let's just be honest. The church has lost a little bit of its taste. And the generations that are coming before us, that are in front of us, they're saying that the church has no relevance in their lives. And here's the thing. There's a bigger picture when it comes to church. See, a lot of us, when we think of church, it's the four walls. It's the amazing worship team led by Chad May. It's the preaching. It's all these amazing things. But the church, the biggest thing that we have to take away from the church, that really it's a movement, right? And so today we have the opportunity, thank God, that we have it recorded in the scriptures that remind us what this movement looks like. And this movement is not founded or it's not found when it comes to how much money we can get out of somebody. Or it's not about how much we can grow our buildings or grow as many campuses. But it's founded on the work of Christ. And that is the core identity when it comes to this movement, when it comes to this church. And so today, I kind of want to give a clear vision of what to expect for the next several weeks, what it's going to look like, the powerful messages that Chet and I are going to go ahead and preach to you guys. And we're just excited for it. And again, I'm just so thrilled to talk about the importance of church because, again, church is losing its taste, it's losing its flavor, and it's losing just the importance in our lives today. But before I begin, let me go ahead and say a quick prayer and we can dive in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your provisions. I thank you for the scriptures. And I thank you for what you've started with the apostles in the beginning and what we are continuing today. Father God, I pray that your word would be upon us, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would incline us to understand the true meaning of the church, which started with the movement, which started with the way. Father God, you are the way, as you have shown us and remind us in the scriptures. And I pray this would bring honor, glory to your son's name. Amen. So I came across this study one day that talked about human interaction, right, in the human brain. And it was pretty unique when I came across this because pretty much what it talked about was what humans and how they develop when they come into contact with other people or even areas or whatever it may be. Typically, the thesis and the main point of this whole work of this study was that as humans, our brain, we develop assumptions because of experiences that we go through, right? We make assumptions because of the moments that we capture or we interact with in life, right? So, for instance, let me explain. Like, if you were to tell me there was this very famous barbecue spot in Elyria, right? And you would say, Jovan, you gotta go check it out. You gotta go see it. You gotta go to this place. They got the best ribs, they got the best sauce, everything. So I go check it out. The moment I get there, because of how we're wired, and this is so unique how our brain is functioned, but how we're wired, I tend to already begin to develop and to build how my experience would be right as looking at the building. Before I even walk in, before even talking to somebody, I'm already dictating how this would go, right? If the building is not to my liking, therefore I kind of say, oh, it's not really gonna work out. It's not gonna be really all that great. But anyway, I continue to go in. It takes them an hour to sit me, even though there's 30 seats that are open. The food is cold. The waiter or waitress, they're just extremely rude. The food is overpriced. As a matter of fact, when I got my tab, it wasn't even what I even ordered on the menu. So I had the worst time. See, what happens is I would assume right then and there, this is the worst restaurant. I never want to come back. I would never go to any chain restaurant ever again. That's actually what we do on a day-to-day basis, right? We actually do this with other people. But even worse, I think the study, what brought to my attention was the fact that stemming from this, we categorize things. We are a categorizing society. We categorize everyone based on gender, on race, on class, social, economic. We categorize everyone typically because of how we experience things, and therefore we assume and we make stereotypes. We judge and we do all these type of things, and we all know how, how much of a disaster that's been in our human history. But the one place that I see this so often and so common is the church. The one place I see people make assumptions about is the church and their experience, right? And sometimes those experiences aren't the best experiences. Believe me, I get it. I understand. I grew up in the church. My father was a preacher, was a pastor, very well known in the community. So therefore, from the beginning, I felt that there was this big magnifying glass just staring down on me. So I had to live up to a certain way. I had to have this certain behavior. I had to have this certain attitude. And therefore, that attitude, stemming because of my insecurities and because of my own guilt, I felt that in order for me to be valuable to the church, I have to live up to my father. I have to live up to his certain standards of what he envisioned for me, right? See, I remember as a young man, and I talked about this before, that as young kids, we always used to say God was a formula. If you do X, Y, and Z, God will love me. We used to always say that as growing up, right? But here's the thing. Growing up, I got pretty good at doing X. Not what you're thinking. Don't worry about that. I got pretty good at doing my X. I got pretty good at doing my Y. I exercised it every single day, but I fell short of my Z. And one of the places I felt that should have supported me, that should have loved me, that should have embraced me, was the church. But no. They condemned me. They made me feel bad about the decisions that I've made or that I did. And that's just kind of how I perceive the church. We all have been in that boat before. We all have made assumptions about the church. Again, I talked about it earlier. Maybe you made an assumption that the church is full of people who are greedy and want nothing but money. The church is full of people that is just a big business. That all we're supposed to do is grow these huge churches. All we're supposed to do is grow these huge parking lots, right? We're supposed to have these amazing speakers. And only thing that we ask out of you is to give, give, and give. And therefore, you perceive us and you think that the church is full of people of greed. Maybe you felt that the church, and this is kind of, I can very relate to this. Maybe you felt the church was a place of prideful, hurtful people. People that as soon as you make the one mistake that says the word or that the church said that you shouldn't do, they condemn you for it. They kick you out. They make you feel bad about it. Maybe you just thought the church just wasn't any relevance to you. That church is boring. It's full of rules and traditions. And if I do these certain amount of rules or if I do these certain amount of traditions, then that makes me valuable. Then that makes me good enough. Then that makes God love me even more and more. See, I think we've gotten the church all wrong, right? So in this study today, I kind of came up with this diagram. I want to kind of bring out that there is a distinct design behind church, right? And I think the problem is, as people, because of how we are, because of how flawed we are, we've missed the point. And we have that opportunity to discover in the scriptures what that point is. But let me acknowledge it like this. So as a church or as a congregation in the translation means assembly. As a congregation, we get to recognize an amazing supernatural grace that is sufficient, all-knowing guy by the name of God, right? So we have God right here. And we know God and we recognize God in everything that he does in life. Everything that, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, or whether you are, this is going to pertain to us and connect to us in a certain way. God wants us to recognize him because of his nature, because of his character, right? If you want to know the character of God, you can find that in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. And God wants us to acknowledge him as a designer, because that's just his nature. He's creative. That's just what he does. He's a creative type of person. But see, in his design, we must understand that in it and through it, there's a purpose, right? We have a purpose. He has a purpose in everything that he creates. He creates man for a reason. He creates relationships for a reason. He creates living for a reason. He created money for a reason. But here's the thing. He created the church. for a reason. And because of his great creativity, because he can't just keep this in for so long, he wants to embrace and use his special people. I don't know why, because we always get it wrong. He wants to use his children to recognize him as a designer, but also live out his purpose. So he uses humans, his children, to exercise him as a designer. Therefore, and believe me, I looked up this word. This is a word. I went on Wikipedia. Don't worry. He wants to recognize his children as the designee. That means someone who was designated of carrying a specific task, right? And that's what we have in the church. And once we acknowledge the designer, once we acknowledge that he has a purpose, what connects us and what makes us responsible? We have a responsibility, right? And here's the thing. If the church or the people get it right, it all becomes a cycle. And that's how God wants us to work. He wants to live his prosperity and joy and peace and understanding and growing in knowledge of him on a day-to-day basis. But because of our human condition, because of our human nature, we cut off everything. We miss the point. We have lack of control. We're led by greed, ambition, and lack of confidence. Therefore, we build a division. That's the main problem with us and God. It's been like that. You don't even have to read scripture. You can read history books. We rebel, 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 rebel. And that, and again, God wants us to understand what it means to have the makeup of the church. But the point of it all is that we're now counted as children because God so loved the world because he gave his only begotten son so that we may understand how things work in life. See, Christ is the connection with the designer and his purpose. And we have to acknowledge that we have a specific task and a responsibility to hold up in the church. It's not about operating through the four walls, but it's about operating in faith. It's not about operating how much we can get out of people. Believe me, churches are guilty of this. I get it. I understand. I read and watch videos. But how a church operates is in faith and in Christ. And in the beginning, church, we're going to see how this movement began to trickulate and began to touch hearts, not because of they had the Bible. They didn't have the Bible in the sense of what we think of today. They didn't have Christ Church, or they didn't have Chet or Doc. See, they didn't have guys like that. They had people who simply acknowledged Christ as their Lord and Savior, who witnessed his amazing work. But here's the thing. They wanted to tell everybody about it. And we have that opportunity of exercising that today. So we have that. We're going to study the book of Acts. If you can, turn to the Acts chapter 1, verse 1 with me. And in this, we're going to pick up where the disciples and Christ were spending their days in Jerusalem. This is after Jesus had his resurrection, broken his body for us, and he spent about 40 days with his disciples. The book of Acts is actually a continuation of one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. We get introduced to Luke because of his Gospel and what he records to us. And Acts picks up where he left off. Jesus, again, had broken his body, resurrected from the dead, presenting himself to the disciples and speaking to them. But Acts chapter 1, I want to talk to us about this specific, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, I want to talk about the specific idea of how this whole sermon is going to shape out. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "In this first book, O Theophilus," Theophilus is either a man he's speaking to. In Greek translation, it means lover of God. So they don't know if he's speaking to a man or to a group of people. That's neither here or neither there or important. He says, "In this first book, O Theophilus," talking about his gospel account, "I have dealt with you all that Jesus began to do and teach." The word that is important for us to understand is that Christ began. Jesus' ministry was just the beginning. Christ's death, but resurrection was just the beginning. Christ's teaching was just the start of it. Because here's the thing, we are the continuation of that. And today we have that opportunity to continue his great work, continue his great ministry on this earth today, because Christ began everything. See, Christ's beginning was nothing but a movement. He grew in favor and stature. He wanted us to get it, what it was like to love on people, but most of all, love with the Father. And that was the ideal beginning. But as a church, even today, we're the continuation of that church. See, God's plan is to encourage and to move our generation's hearts and faith closer to the Lord through the powerful truths of Jesus Christ. That is the makeup. That is the whole thing about this whole sermon series. That is the reason why we do church. It's to grow people closer to Christ. Not closer to our buildings, even though those are nice resources that God gives us. Not closer to just joining, connecting in a church. God gives us those opportunities. But we must remember our identity is found in Christ. And that's the makeup of the church. Turn with me, if you could, to verse 6. Verse 6 is vital and important. The reason why is because of this. The early church starters, the first players in the game, they got it all wrong. They had their own agenda. They had their own assumption of what the church and Christ's continuation of the church was supposed to look like. Verse 6, it says, so when they had came together, Jesus and the disciples and the people that were following him, so when they had came together, they had asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons. The Father has fixed by his own authority. The important thing about it is this. As a church, we're going to get it wrong. The disciples got it wrong. The disciples felt because it was a Jewish tradition that the Messianic King, the Son of God, Jesus, that the Son of God would rise and bring a restoration to Israel. He would bring peace to them. He would conquer the Romans. He would do all these amazing things. And that's what they expected. See, they were fighting against their own assumptions. They were fighting against their own agenda. They thought Christ, because of what he's done and what he's going to do, they figured that was to follow. But Christ said, that's not important. The reason why I say this because is this. As a church, we have to often, and as a believer, we have to often at times refocus our energy on why we are doing what we do. Because it's easy for us to be led by greed. It's easy for us to be led by pride. It's easy for us to be led by things that can completely miss the point. But this is why it's so important to refocus our vision of why we do church, of why we have church. And Christ gives this amazing mission for them in the following verses. In the next verse. He says, but you will receive, verse 8 is what I'm picking up. He says, but you will receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to all ends of the earth. Witness. Jesus uses this amazing, confusing, that's kind of a lot of his ministry to me, a lot of it was confusing, but he used these words so we can exercise and get in deep thought about what he's truly trying to say. See, witness in today's society means, you know, when you think of witness, you think of like a court, a plaintiff and a judge and a jury and a lawyer. And someone would take the stand and they would speak on behalf of what they saw, right? And that would make you a witness. For instance, if I fell off the stage, you all would go home and tell everybody about what you saw, because that makes you a witness. But Christ is speaking about something much more profound. Because here's the thing, the disciples, they witnessed Jesus. They witnessed him breaking his body. They witnessed him taking his last breath. They witnessed all of that. But Jesus is talking about not by what you see, because remember, as Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. See, Jesus is talking about you become a witness of me when I become alive in you. And as a church, this is so vitally important that, again, that becomes our drive and our mission, is reminding people what Christ has done, doing, and going to do in our lives. All of these things, we can have a bunch of different ways of how we present the church and the Bible and whatnot, but the message stays the same, that Christ became alive in me. And the basic rule and the basic understanding is this. It's just giving your testimony. It's telling people how you came to faith. It's reminding people what Christ has done for you and letting it out. See, that's what the disciples did. In the next chapter, you're going to see them go into the streets of Jerusalem, talk about Christ, talk about his amazingness, and talk about his greatness, and almost 3,000 people come to faith. All because, not because of a building, not because of the music, but because of Christ. And that's our mission. And that's what we're supposed to do. And that's why we do what we do, is to remind people that although in my life there was uncertainty, with Christ there was endless possibility. That although in my life I stood on a hill of guilt, but Jesus said, come on in and welcome to grace. That although I was standing in the midst of my bad decisions, and Jesus said, that's okay, I want your bad decisions. I can use that for a reason. And that's what Christ means in our lives. It's simply reminding people why you love Jesus and what he's done for you and what he can do for others. The church doesn't operate through a building. The church operates in faith. The church, the movement. Remember, church originally meant movement. They didn't even use the word church until later on in the scriptures. They used the word movement. This movement was because of what Christ has done. And we have to remember that moving forward. We have to remember that going forward in our lives, it's surrounded around the base story of Christ and what he's doing. That's the reason why I do what I do. Because in my life, I chase things. In my life, I wanted someone to fulfill these certain things and these holes in my life. I put man and mentors and family and people there. And here's the thing. Those things run short. Those things run dry. But Christ said, won't you give me a try? And Jesus says, won't you allow me to fill the things that man cannot fill? And what happens is, since this love that I've been searching for, since this love that I so desired in my life took hold of me, I had to express it. I had to tell everybody and anybody about it, that Christ was enough for me and he's enough for you. That Christ wants your imperfections. You're going to see in the scriptures how Jesus uses liars, thieves, murderers to spread the gospel. He used people that necessarily church would say is unqualified. But Christ says, no, I want your imperfections. Because I can help, I can have you use this perfect gospel and spread it and change lives. We affect change when we tell people about his great and mighty name. That's what happens. We become an agent for change in the church. We turn people's lives around. We turn fear into faith. We have people change their integrity, change their courage, change into having courage. That's the work and the making the model of the church. And that's all that Jesus wanted to do in this movement. Not in this building, but in this movement. I remember this story, actually Chet shared with me a while ago. We were sitting down, we were talking, and he talked to me about a family. There was a family that moved into this new neighborhood, right? They were very new. They came from a far distance. And the neighbors on the left and on the right came and greeted them. Say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood, welcome to the city, da-da-da-da, you should come. You know, we're teaching and show you around, and, you know, you have to come with us and hang out with us. Both of them said this. You have to come and hang out with us at our churches. But here's the thing. The neighbors on the left and on the right went to two different churches. So the family that just moved there, they said, hey, we'll give the neighbor on the left a chance, and then the next week we give the neighbor on the right a chance. So they go to the neighbors on the left church. They sit in service. They listen to the band. They listen to the preacher. They take their kids up to children's church. They have a great time. They walk out and say, wow, that's a great church. I love that church. They got good speakers. They got a cute guy named Chad May. They're just a great church. And they walked out, and they were happy. But they went to the church on the right, and they walked out and said, Christ is my Savior. That's the difference between knowing the church that is after Christ than a church that is after their own desires. The church has gotten it wrong for centuries. We get it. We understand it. I get it. I worked and lived through it. But a church that is after Christ is a church that's trying to build life into others. And Jesus says this amazing thing. Catch this. Not only did he say that you will be my witness, we become a witness when we acknowledge him in our lives. He says, not only will you become a witness, but you will spread this. You will take it to parts of Jerusalem. You would even take it further to Judea. Understand that the map of the Bible, that Judea was a little bit further, but not as far. But then you would take it to Samaria, a place that Jews didn't affiliate themselves with. It's almost like literally like a place where there was this huge division. But Jesus says, no, I want you to take it there. See, Christ not only wants us to turn and change lives for him, but he wants us to also spread it. That is what makes it a movement. Christ wants us to spread it to all different directions and all different areas in life, which is why we do what we do. Not holding it just in our community. We're going to go to Grafton. We're going to go to Eaton, Columbia Station, Palmer, Brunswick, the next state, and the state after. From city to city, from region to region, from nation to nation, the gospel of Christ is being preached because of the disciples and their boldness, and because of the church today and their boldness. We begin to spread and expand the gospel when we take it outside of these four walls. Let me break it down to you. I believe that church, this place, is a place of worship. It's a place that we give God our all. It's a place that we practice and exercise our amazing faith in him. And we need it. We need this building. We need churches like this and churches down the street to exercise the greatness and the beauty of Jesus Christ. But church really starts with taking it out there. I'm being honest with you. Church starts with us going from street to street and becoming a virus of change and allowing Christ's name to be on everybody's hearts, to everybody's tongue. That's the work of the church. That's what it was intended for. So if you walked in today thinking that church is about X, Y, and Z, and I didn't do my X or Y this week, but I got my Z right, the church shouldn't condemn you for that. The church should embrace and love you. Because you're going to see in Acts that when the church is facing persecution, that's when Christianity spreads the most. When churches face the most suffering, that's when the gospel continues to spread. And that's the work of our church, of many churches. Again, churches have gotten it wrong. But here's the thing that I want you to take home this week. Invite a friend. Invite a friend to this sermon series. We have an amazing pastor in Chet whose just mind is just ridiculous. I think he's Jesus' little son. I don't know what's going on. This guy has known so much. But the fact is this, come here, bring a friend. Hopefully we can turn and change their minds and change their assumptions of the church. Hopefully they don't experience church, they experience Christ. I never knew anybody that was let down by Christ. That's what the charge of the church is. Bring a friend. Connect in the church. Be a part of this team. Join a ministry. Join a life group. That is the area where we'll be affecting change in the church. Not status, not for money or greed, but change in his church. Jesus told his disciples, show the light that dawns upon you. Remove darkness that is so deep into this world. Be the light so people can understand the Father in heaven. Be that light in your week this week. Invite someone to church. Connect in our church. Connect in any church. Doesn't matter. Because Christ is the center of it all. Doesn't matter denomination. Doesn't matter wherever you may be. But Christ is the center of it all. Let me say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this charge. I thank you for your mission to the hearts and the believers. Lord, help us to understand your work in the church. Help us to respect your design, respect your purpose, and honor it. Help us to turn people to faith. Help us to go into the streets where families are broken, where there's the sick and the poor. Help us to turn them to have hope into you. Use us as instruments in your music. Use us to affect the hearts out here. Use us. Remind us that the mission is Christ. Help us to share our stories in our work week, in our families, at our churches that we may visit through interactions. Help us to reach the lost. Help us to find those who are so hungry for you. We thank you. We pray to you. We honor you. We glorify you. And we just thank you in advance. And we pray all these things in your precious, beautiful Son's name. Amen.